Today, we have a special edition where we discuss the full solar eclipse. I'm going to be joined by Evan Imboden. He's an elder at the church, formerly a teacher, and a fellow science nerd. So why don't you join us for the discussion?
Cool.
We made this happen.
I'm on.
Yes. Yeah.
We finally made it.
We made it.
It wasn't easy.
I know. So you're going to make it for the eclipse?
Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be there in my driveway. Oh, so we have the fortune of having Finley be in totality, so that's good.
So total solar eclipse.
Yes.
Right over Finley.
Yep. Well, yes.
Wow.
Over Finley and several other places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So
looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. So I've heard a lot of chatter about this being really special. You know, it's like maybe once in a lifetime that it'll go over your hometown. But also, you know, I imagine the very fact that we get like a full solar eclipse over the Earth is probably a big deal, right?
It is a big deal. Yeah. It, like you say, it's probably once in a lifetime. Not really. It happens a lot, but the Earth is big. So you're at different places on the Earth where it happens. I come from Illinois. So we just had one, I think it was in 2016.
Yeah.
We had one that went through southern Illinois, and that was my first total solar eclipse I got to see.
Sweet.
So we drove just a little bit further south from where we were in Illinois and got to see it.
But it wasn't right on, over your driveway.
It was not over my driveway.
This was going to be over right your driveway.
That's why I moved to Finley.
Yeah.
Totally planning for this eclipse the entire time.
No. So, I mean, is the planet Earth like the only place where you get a solar eclipse like this? Or, I mean, how unique is this thing?
Yeah. So this is a weird phenomena. It's the fact that we have a moon that is nice and spherical, you know. Mm-hmm. Not all planets have moons to begin with. So of the terrestrial planets in our solar system, a couple planets don't even have moons, but like Mars does have moons, but they're irregularly shaped. Phobos and Deimos are just kind of, they're the ugliest moons in the solar system.
Yeah, they look kind of like bad potatoes.
Yeah, they're very, yeah, not yeah. good moons. So, but Earth has a huge moon
okay.
in perspective to how big our planet is. Mm-hmm. Our moon is huge. And it just so happens to be about 400 times smaller than the sun,
mm-hmm.
but it's 400 times the distance to the sun. And so because of that strange arrangement of geometry, our moon can fit right into the disk of the sun. And from our perspective on the planet, it mm-hmm. looks like the two line up nearly perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's just completely unusual. That's what I think. And everybody always, even astronomers, you know, when I taught astronomy, it was, we talked about it. What a coincidence, you know? And I'm like, it's not a coincidence. Most people say it is. But to me, it is a statement of, wow, what are the odds of that mm-hmm. just perfectly lining up like that on the one planet in our solar system that has intelligent life on it,
mm-hmm.
that phenomena happens? I think it's an incredible coincidence, if you will, but I think it points to design. And so,
well, it is interesting that it just so happens that the only planet where you get such a perfect eclipse is the only planet where there's actually creatures that can appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. You get eclipses on other, you know, I can show you eclipses on Jupiter. You know, we can put a scope on Jupiter and I can show you the moons travel across it and their eclipses, but not this type of eclipse, not a total yeah. solar eclipse where it fits perfectly in the sun.
Yeah.
And even on Earth, sometimes you'll have other kinds of eclipses. There's annuals where it's complicated, but our planet...
Is that the Ring of Fire? Like, because the moon, like the orbit's slightly irregular, so sometimes the moon appears slightly smaller than the Earth, and so you get a ring of fire. And
right.
And other times you have total eclipses where it completely covers. Yeah.
So, an annular eclipse is one that it fits inside and you get the ring. But that is because our orbit around the sun is elliptical, so it's not perfectly round. And so sometimes we're a little bit farther away from the sun, and sometimes we're a little bit closer. And so that moon-Earth connect, that moon-Earth system is a little bit farther or more distant. The other part of it is our moon travels around the Earth, and as a result, that also is elliptical. There's a little bit of an adjustment there, and that tilt is about a 5-degree tilt on the orbit. So if you put all those factors together, two elliptical orbits, so the distances vary just slightly, then there's a tilt to the plane of that orbit. Everything has to line up just right, because you have to have a moon that's in a position of being in front of the sun, and you have to have it in an alignment that at a certain distance, so everything lines up. So annulars happen, partials happen, but a total solar eclipse is when everything's lined up just right and everything fits perfectly. And it's only on Earth that you actually get that phenomena.
Yeah, so there's this like Goldilocks situation where it's just right.
Yep.
I guess Pluto's not a planet anymore, but...
It's a minor.
It's a minor. Yeah. It's a humble planet.
Yeah, it's a humble planet.
But I think Pluto has a moon, right? But it's not...
Yeah, yeah. Charon is Pluto's moon, but it's so far away. So the sun just appears to be a dot, right, in the sky. It's very small compared to what it looks like here. We're 93 million miles away.
Yeah.
But I forget the distance of Pluto, but it's geometrically farther. And so as a result, Charon, if it lined up right, would completely cover the sun, like it would cover the dot.
Mm-hmm.
But again, going back to Earth, are the fact that the moon exactly fits into the ring of the sun's photosphere is phenomenal. And that's where it just irritates me as an astronomer. Of when people say, boy, that's a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. Yeah, what it sure is. Almost like someone designed it that way, which is exactly what I believe at.
So, you see evidence of design. So, does this communicate anything important about God, or does it speak into like Christianity at all? Like, what does it mean?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, no. Yeah. I don't think this. So, I've heard a lot of things about eclipses and prophetic, connections signs.
Like the sun being darkened or the moon turning to blood.
Right, And certainly those things are scriptural. Those things happened, and those things are prophesied. But this is a physical phenomena. It's a predictable, mathematical, calculated thing. It does not speak into, it's not prophetic. It happens before, it'll happen again. Now, God could use these things to work out his will, if that is what he wanted to communicate, something like that. But in this case, I would not connect that to any kind of prophecy. Instead, what I believe is simply, like I said before, I think this is a very good piece of evidence of design. And in my opinion, if it does show design, then that means the possibility of a designer who designed it.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's a way that God is communicating, if you will, that, hey, I'm giving you clues in the universe that someone is behind all this. So if he's communicating at least his presence through physical phenomena, what else might he communicate through his written word, which is the Bible? And I think that's where Romans comes into my mind. You men are without excuse because they see these things in the world. And I think if we see some things in the natural world, it should lead us toward pursuing the one who made these things in the natural world.
The alternative is it's a coincidence.
Yeah, right, yep. Right. The alternative is it's a rando coincidence.
Nigh impossible.
Yeah.
A, that it would be there in the first place. Yeah. B, that we would even recognize it or appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, and like I shared with you before, if you think about the sizes that are involved here, if Earth was a marble, the size of a marble, what was that, the analogy I used? I think it was a marble.
Yeah.
And then the moon would be the size of a BB, okay? So then the sun is about like a 6 foot guy, 6 foot tall guy in one of those Zorb balls. It's like a Zorb ball as you can get in this huge thing. So 6 foot tall versus a BB.
Yeah.
What are the odds that that BB would completely perfectly cover that 6 foot diameter sphere?
Yeah.
Well, it's easy with math. You just put it at a certain distance and we'll get the things to line up from mm-hmm. your perspective. But my goodness, that's perfect math.
Yeah.
It perfectly lines up.
Come on.
So
yeah.
To me, I think we don't appreciate the circumstances by which an eclipse actually happens. To me, it's design.
Yeah. Right. So as Christians, as we watch the solar eclipse, you know,
yeah.
what could we do with that? Like, what should happen to our hearts when we get to see this?
Yeah.
This phenomena, this amazing thing.
I find it comforting to know that there's a designer. This is another case to know that we're not alone, that there is a designer. There's someone who's orchestrating all this. And this is just like eye candy,
right?
I mean, it's great. I praise God for the eclipse.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be anything more than that. I don't think there's prophecy. It's a sign of this or that. But I do think that we should praise God for the fact that he has put a universe together that is amazing and safe in where we are. That's one other thing. A lot of things irritate me. I'm finding out. Another thing that irritates me.
Curmudgeon scientists.
Like Carl Sagan, one of his lines is, it seems like the universe, that it's an awful waste of space. And that was in his famous book and movie. That came from it, but it isn't. If you know much about astronomy, it is not a waste of space. Space, the universe, is exceedingly dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It will kill you. There's no heat in most of it, you know, and the places where there is enough heat, it comes with radiation that will kill you. If a nova goes off too close to you, you're done. Mm-hmm. If there's a black hole too close, you're done. So people, they look out across this vast universe and they're like, man, there's a lot of space for plenty of other life. And there's plenty of space for other planets we could go to and live on. I challenge that because it is exceedingly dangerous in space. And we are far away from things for a reason. And so once again, you look at the eclipse and it's like there's a designer. And the fact that he's put us in a universe in a very safe pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He's even supplied Jupiter, which is a like a meteor magnet for us. It keeps most of the meteors away from the interior planets where we live. So there's design in all over the place
when
you look at it. And like someone said, that a good planet is hard to find.
Yeah.
And really hard to find.
So I feel inspired to read Psalm 19 that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. The voice goes out through all the earth." Yeah, I mean, that's what's amazing, is that we have somebody to thank for this.
Yeah.
You know, we get to thank God that it is such a gift that we get to see such a thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're going to have to wear your special eyeglasses, right, to look at this thing. So I should have put those on my dog.
Here we go.
I saw some questions online about this. Do I need to put one on my dog?
No, you do not need to put glasses on your dog.
Why not?
Because dogs are, they don't care at all about the, you know, and that's a good point. I mean, we are made in the image of God.
Yeah.
Humans are.
Yeah.
And we appreciate, as Psalm 1 or 19:1 says, the heavens declare the work, the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork.
Mm.
We can appreciate that. Yeah. Dogs don't care. The sun's out every day.
Yeah.
And they don't look at it. You know, so they're not going to look at it during the eclipse either, but we are, and that's why it's amazing. I think that is why God put these signs in the heavens. You know, this phenomena for us to think about. Wow, that someone made all this. Mm-hmm. I wonder what response I should have toward that. If someone made this and made me, what are the philosophical implications? What are the theological implications? I think, again, that is a good beginning place for people that are seeking God, or maybe even not seeking God. It's a good beginning place to start thinking about your place in the heavens, because there is a God. He does have a message, and we need to be paying attention to what he is proclaiming in heavens.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, man. Looking forward to this.
Hey, me too.
Thanks.